This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
You have reached the Every Little Thing helpline. If you have a question about the paint used on teeny tiny body parts, you're not alone.
Today's question falls into the ELT FAQ category.
So my question is nail polish.
Some of the names are absolutely ridiculous.
The names are just bizarre.
Like, I'm looking right now at one called Crawfishin' for a compliment.
Things like, you've got to be kitten me.
It's a piazza cake.
Like a play on words, or they just change the one word in a phrase.
And I'm always curious who gets to make up the names of all the nail polishes. Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, Olivia, it's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora, how are you?
I'm doing great. So I don't want to paint you into a corner, but are you willing to represent all the listeners with this pressing nail question?
Absolutely, I'm glad to represent.
How often do you get your itch swords painted?
Every 2 weeks, pretty much on the dot. I got my girls down the street who take good care of me, and we've gotten very close. They ask me if I'm married a lot.
Every 2 weeks?
Every time. But I really do enjoy going. It's a time to put my phone away for about an hour and get hounded on my love life by a bunch of strangers.
Have you ever thought about how weird it is that we paint this little teeny part of our body?
I think about that all the time.
Do you?
I do. It's like, you know, painting your teeth. Is that going to be a thing one day and people just are normal about it? You know, it's just a random body part we just put paint on.
Do you think we are going to be painting our teeth someday?
You know what's really funny? My stepdad is a huge Kentucky basketball fan, and he has a cavity that has the UK logo on the back of it, and it's called a tattoo. Oh my gosh, it's so funny too to see it, because you have to pull his cheek real far back, and lo and behold, he has a tattoo.
I didn't even know tattoos were a thing.
There's some things that just don't need to be invented.
Okay, so you and many other listeners called about this odd quirk of the nail polish industry, that the names are off the wall.
Yes.
Just to give people who don't paint their chalkboard scrapers a sense, I think we should do a quiz. I'm going to give you five names. You tell me which one is not a nail polish name.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Yank My Doodle. Cougar Attack. My Silicone Popped. Topless Beach. Game of Crumbs.
Oh my gosh, my silicone popped. Is that it?
Unfortunately, they are all real nail polish names.
Oh my gosh, trick question.
Have you ever picked a nail polish just based on the name?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And the names are actually pretty clever because you do remember them. I think one of their popular ones is something called like Cajun Shrimp.
Yes.
It's like the most perfect blend of an orangey red I have ever seen in my life. And I kid you not, I had surgery back in July and I had that color on my nail polish. I come up out of surgery, out of anesthesia, and the nurse is drilling me on what my nail polish color is. And I'm just like coming out of surgery and she's wheeling me to my car and she's like, okay, if you remember what color nail polish you have, please let me know. Thinking to myself, ma'am, I just came out of a surgery.
Did you ever let her know it was Cajun Shrimp?
I think I just nodded in like an anesthesia state of mind.
Okay, so how did we get here to Cajun Shrimp territory? To fully appreciate the weird world of nail polish naming, I think you have to know how nail polish got its start.
Yeah.
Our guide on this part of our journey is Suzanne Shapiro.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi.
She's a fashion historian and author of the book Nails. And she said people have been decorating their scratchers for centuries.
The Arabian Peninsula, North Africa, South Asia, lands where the henna plant grows native, henna-stained nails have been part of larger body art.
I never thought about, you know, cultures that used henna doing their nails. Of course, that makes total sense.
And there's plant-dyed red nails in East Asia. There's even been gilded nails observed on some mummies.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, on to modern times. The first nail salon in America opened in 1878 in Manhattan. And in those days, if you were born with hideous nails, your options were limited. There were polishing pastes and powders, and maybe like a rose-tinted salve to rub into your nail beds.
It wasn't really supposed to give too much of a decorative effect, but just like the look of good circulation.
Health.
Health, exactly. You're vigorous, you're happy, you're healthy.
And blood is getting to those nails.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of makes sense because I feel like a lot of times when you think about makeup, it's to make people look healthy.
Especially back in those days. Back then, makeup that wasn't au naturel was au no-trol. What I'm trying to say is that flashy beauty products were frowned upon.
You know, to be seen wearing visible cosmetics was risky. It was to be seen as a fast woman with loose morals. There was writing about, you know, like, all right, ladies, let's tone it down. We all know someone who polishes her nails so much so they look buttered. But that to me is so interesting because it signals that the manicure was starting to enter the realm of fashion. And there were some people that were, you know, expressing themselves a little bit differently even before colored nail polishes came onto the scene.
Colored nail polishes come onto the scene in 1924, at a time when women were entering the workforce, getting the right to vote, and pushing for new freedoms, including the freedom to look different. And nail polish had a role to play.
You know, that sort of moral prudery, that wasn't sustainable anymore. People started thinking of, you know, kind of beauty practices as, you know, it's modern, it's okay. It's a way to kind of show that you care about aesthetics.
On top of that, a few handy trends helped nail polish spread.
For one, women weren't wearing gloves as much as they used to, so it left hands on display in these social situations. More significantly, as women were taking up smoking in great numbers. And so, I mean, here you have like the sensuous prop and this like very performative thing you're doing, like bringing your hands to your face. And so that left hands on display.
Poo-poo on cigarettes, but I appreciate their little piece of history in this situation.
Movie stars also push the polish. Red paint popped even in black and white.
Jungle Red. The newest color, Jungle Red.
Oh, yeah.
So that is really when it kind of reaches the masses. It's like, you know, once your favorite actresses are wearing, like, forget about it. There's no going back.
I love it.
Nail polish was also a relatively inexpensive luxury. Suzanne says even during the Great Depression, women still bought nail polish.
You bought one little bottle a year. I mean, that was your cheap pick-me-up, your little token of Hollywood glamour, you know, when you're making sacrifices on so much else.
And, you know, it still translates today in when you walk out, you just feel like a million bucks.
Let's press on to the names. Up until the 1980s, nail polish names were pretty Emery Boredom. They ranged from Pink Number 3, Mauve Number 2, to Montezuma Red or Wicked White on the more creative end.
We can do better.
So how did we go from Pink Number Whatever to Don't Pretzel My Buttons, a real name? To answer that question, we have to wave goodbye to Suzanne and say hello to one of the women who nailed naming.
My nickname is First Lady of Color.
Olivia, let me introduce you to, finger drum roll please, the Princess of Polish, the Countess of Cuticles, the Lordess of Lacquer, the Ace of Acetate, the Queen of Keratin, the Duchess of Brushes, the biggest name in tiny bottles, Susie Weiss Fishman.
Hi, Olivia.
Susie Weiss Fishman is the co-founder of the nail polish company, OPI.
She's like a queen.
Will you explain what OPI is to any listeners who've been living under a pumice stone?
It is the Cadillac of nail polish brands.
What about the names?
Oh my gosh, they have the best names. They have the best names. And I would love to learn more about how in the world they come up with these names.
Okay, well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about.
Awesome.
After the break.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
OPI took the nail polish name game to the next level, and Susie's the reason why.
Go, Susie.
Here's her story. Susie was born in Hungary and immigrated to the U.S. in 1969 when she was 13. And in high school, she took a job at her brother-in-law's garment factory.
Always loved fashion. Fashion, decorating, always very much into colors.
10 years later, her brother-in-law bought a small dental supply business in California. And like so many dreamers, Susie went to California to help run a denture business.
Oh my gosh.
It was called Odontorium Products Incorporated.
You're telling me that OPI was originated from teeth?
That's correct.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
So Susie and her brother-in-law slash partner in biz realized that their false tooth technology was useful outside the mouth.
In the early 80s, when artificial nail extensions were very popular, we saw all these nail salons popping up in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles doing artificial nail extensions called acrylics. And we realized that it's very similar chemistry to making dentures.
They shifted focus away from mouths and towards hands and scratched the name Odontorium Products Incorporated for something snappier.
It would be hard to put that on a nail polish bottle.
Agree.
And that's how really OPI began as a professional nail company.
After mastering acrylics, they tried their hand at polish. And this is when Susie had an epiphany. Lightning struck in a Starbucks.
Coffee, to me, was always a black coffee. And I went to Starbucks and I was amazed how many different ways can coffee be and how personal. One shot, two shot, foam, no foam. Your coffee was personal just to you. And I would go in the back of the line for hours just to listen to people asking for coffee. And I said, oh my God, why don't we just do this with nail lacquer where we make it personal, make it fun, make it aspirational.
The names were her vehicle. She went for names that captured the imagination and took consumers somewhere new.
Wow, she was so ahead of her time.
OPI launched their first nail polish line in 1989. 30 shades with names like Kyoto Pearl, Malaga Wine, Swedish Nude. And then from there, it just snowballed.
Big Apple Red, which was from the New York City collection. Of course, Big Apple, iconic. Colors like Coney Island Cotton Candy or Lincoln Park After Dark, which was from the Chicago collection.
I wonder where she was coming up with all of these names.
I asked her that exact question, and this is what she said.
Okay.
OPI releases seasonal lines tied to specific places. And Susie and team start the naming process by going to whatever place they've chosen. Iceland, New Orleans, Hong Kong. Then they eat, drink, and thank their lucky stars that they're in the nail polish naming business.
Very good job.
Once they're back, Susie comes up with the colors.
Based on, of course, trends and fashion predictions.
Then the magic happens. A six-person naming squad, the best of the best dad jokesters, the A-team of B-comedy, assembles in the OPI situation room.
The large conference room.
They lock themselves in there for 8 hours of intensive name storming.
We had maps and atlases and, you know, sometimes books.
It's almost like detective work.
Yeah, exactly. Big whiteboard filled with names.
A lot of people walking around tapping a pencil on their head. Who are these, like, elite six?
The namers?
Yeah.
It's people from marketing, creative, myself, somebody from, believe it or not, customer service, somebody from purchasing, lady named Susan Pfeffer. It's really very random. There's no formula to who can be a good person to name shades.
Is there an audition process?
No audition.
Well, how did you find, like, say, the person in purchasing or the customer service person? How did you figure out that they would be good?
She asked, and we gave her kind of a little test. We told her a region or a city, and we said, can you come up with some? And extremely clever names, and that was it. She became part of the committee for many years.
So there is an audition.
I guess you could call it an audition.
These Hall of Namers sometimes draw from personal experiences.
That is what I hope for.
Like my Chihuahua Bites, it was from the Mexico collection. My friend Chihuahua kind of jumped on my face just the weekend before. And I went in the next day when we were doing the naming and I said, my Chihuahua Bites. And that became a name.
One of their top-selling shades, I'm Not Really a Waitress, came to Susie when a server spilled wine all over her. And then the server said, sorry, I'm not really a waitress.
I have actually seen that color.
So they have this big list of names, they chip it down to the finalists, and then vote. And that's how Tickler Pigments get their names.
Wow. I feel like my life's big question has been answered.
When's your next manicure?
They're kind of looking a little rough right now. I have an appointment this afternoon.
Do you think that this information will change your experience there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll have to share it with my gals, and maybe they'll stop asking me about my love life.
What color are you going to get?
They have a color that's one of my favorites called A Good Mandarin is Hard to Find.
If you have a burning question you cannot find the answer to, like you have tried to Google, you have asked your friends, you've asked your family, your coworkers, still looking for an answer, call us. 833-RING-ELT. That's 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman. With help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron, Jahi Whitehead, and Hadley Robinson. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Mixed by Dara Hirsch and Enoch Kim. Scored by Dara Hirsch and Bobby Lord. Don't pretzel my buttons. Goodbye. Special Edition ELT FAQ. Special Edition ELT FAQ. This is a special edition ELT FAQ. This is an ELT FAQ.